Let's continue in prayer. Lord, I thank you for being here with us today, Lord, and just your presence is drawing us to you, Lord, and helping us to see how you're working and how you're moving in our church, Lord, and how you're preparing us for bigger things. And when I think of bigger, I think of quality, deeper relationship with you, not necessarily more people, but deeper relationship with you, which I believe will bring in more people, because you'll want to bring people to a place that loves you, that demonstrates you, your love and your compassion for people. Lord, prepare that in us so that we're ready, that if we see you face to face before that time happens, that you will look at us and say, "You, my good and faithful servant, you were ready, you were willing, you were desirous to share me with others." Lord, I thank you again for our team that's going and for the others that are going from other churches to Romania. Lord, may they have a blessing upon them that they know is from you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I look at the time and I see it's 6 minutes before 12. And, you know, I have a message that I know at least part of it we'll move through. And we'll see where the Lord leads us on that. Is that fair? If you got to leave, that's okay. You might have something at a lunch date or something that you have and to go to. That's absolutely fine. But we'll just kind of see where the Lord leads us in this today. How's that? Well, we're in Philippians 3, 18 and 19. If you'd like to stand with me, I'll go ahead and read that and as we move through. For many walk, whom I have often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, and whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. You may be seated. You know, last week we were sharing about being... following Paul's example, he was encouraging the church. Have you spent time with the Lord? As he talked about areas where you might have compromised. Have you spent time with the Lord to show you what areas in your life you have compromised in? It's easy to do. Sometimes it's so subtle we don't even realize where we're compromising in our own walk with the Lord. But what did he show you? Did he encourage you that, no, that's not the case? Or did he show you, this is a compromise in your life, and if you want to grow deeper with me, you need to move that away. You need to let me remove that, but I want you're okay with it to move forward. You know, Paul encourages us to examine relationships of each other in that passage last week. Relationships, to see if those relationships with Jesus are real. We see that in our own church, in places of leadership, in our church body, we would naturally look to those who are in leadership to see, you know, is your character that of Christ? Do we see that? Do we look at the pastor, deacons, Bible studies leaders, those who are on committees, treasurers, and then not to forget those in the congregation as well. Because we're supposed to be imitators of Paul, who is an imitator of Jesus, who looks like him. So we're all to be that. And to look like that, and that's by the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Ephesians 5:1, it says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant offering." There's a lot entailed in that verse right there. We cannot demonstrate Jesus's character without the help of the Holy Spirit. He's got to take control. That's why spending time with the Lord this week and asking, are there things that I've compromised on? Because those things I've compromised on, I've taken control over. I've added them into my life. And I need the Holy Spirit to show me what those are, to remove those so that I can become an imitator of Christ, who is actually the Spirit in me showing himself. If we're to walk in love as a follower of Christ, in 1 John 4:8, God is love. That is supposed to be seen and shown. These are the things that we're examining in the lives of believers that we see, that we come across, that we look at. You know, examining to see the fruits of the lives of those people, to see, are you in love with Jesus? Are you a believer in Christ? Because God's love is sacrificial. Always looking out for the interest of somebody else. Serving. That's why I mentioned the needs that we have in the church of things to serve in. Because it's a serving heart. It's a heart of wanting to sacrifice my time, my energy, my finances even sometimes. But I want to give and I want to serve and I want to be there for others so that others will see Jesus' character. And hopefully it's by the Holy Spirit you're being led to do those things. Not by compulsion or by feeling pressure to do that, but by being led by the Spirit of God to do those things. I would not want somebody to join into a ministry if it was the prayer team or if it was the cleaning team, if it was like, man, I got to do this because I just have to feel, I got to look good. I got to do it because I just need it. And you do it with a begrudging heart. No, I'd rather somebody not do that. I'd rather somebody say, Lord, you want me to do that? No, you don't want me to do that one? Okay. The Lord doesn't want me to do that one because he's got something else for me to do. Or if, Lord, you do want me to do that? Well, I really don't want to do that, Lord. But you want me to do that? Well, I'll submit that to you because that is what you're asking me to do. I'm sacrificing my will for yours in this case. But being led by the Spirit of God. In this verse, it says that, therefore be imitators of God, but as Jesus, walk in love just as Jesus walked and gave himself up. You know, but not only that, as an offering and a sacrifice to God. Now, the sacrifice was something that appeased God. If the sacrifice, the thing that was being sacrificed, was pleasing to God. It wasn't the thing that was actually being sacrificed, but it was the intent and the heart and what was behind it. In this case, it's Jesus. So Jesus, God is looking at Jesus as the sacrificial lamb or the sacrifice that is given. And we know that Jesus was full of love and gave himself up sacrificially. So when God is looking at the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, he's not looking at the person, the body form. He's looking at the heart behind, the inside part. What is it that is actually on the cross? It's the heart of Jesus. It's the love of Christ that was pleasing to God. That's what was accepted. And it ended up being a fragrant aroma, something well-pleasing that the Father would breathe into his nose and smile. And we're to be that type of an imitator, one that looks like Jesus, one that has the heart of Christ. And because that sacrifice was received, our sins were atoned for, covered. When you sacrifice yourself for Christ, and you give yourself as an offering over, and the love of God pours out of your life, when people offend you, when people hurt you, when people misrepresent you, you atone for their sin. You, in a sense, pour out love upon them as forgiveness for them. So you don't harbor bitterness. You don't carry that with you. The imitator of God says, I have forgiven you and I have cleansed you of guilt that I don't carry that on you anymore. Just like when Jesus looks at us, he doesn't look at us and say, okay, that one I'm not covering. Just too much. Or, hey, do you remember what I did for you? Yeah. Those particular bad choices you made, do you remember I covered that one on you? Do you remember that? Do you remember that? He doesn't hold it against us. He lets it go. Because he wants peace. He wants unity. He wants love to be shared. That's what God wants to continue to pour into us at our church. A heart that says, you know what? It would be hard to say that out of 60 of us here at least today, and there's more of us, some are on vacation, some are out not feeling well, some are taking their dad to the hospital. that we see we have choices that we've made against each other that hurt each other's feelings, don't we? But when we look at each other with the love of Jesus, that sacrificing love that says, it's not about me, it's about God. It's about keeping people pointed in His direction, receiving His joy, receiving His peace, receiving His forgiveness, and I want you to see it in me. So when we approach situations and we approach circumstances, we approach them with a heart of, let's restore. Let's not destroy and pull apart. This is the heart that we're supposed to imitate. This is the heart of Jesus. That's a pleasing, fragrant aroma to God. And this, again, can only be done by the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Paul wants us to examine ourselves first. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? When I encourage you to spend time with the Lord with what He's sharing through the message today and in your own personal studies, it's because I'm encouraging you to listen to Jesus. Listen to His Spirit speak to your life. That's what He wants. That's what He desires, to move and transform us, because none of that we cannot be a sacrifice of a sweet aroma without the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. Spending time with Him, letting Him talk to us. Because every circumstance in life, especially ones that are distasteful, that hit you in the face, we have a choice. Do I handle this on my own? Do I try to respond with what I think is best? Or do I go to Jesus and ask Him, Lord, help me respond? Because some things are just distasteful and they hurt. But by the Spirit's help, we can respond with sacrificial love that says, let's bring unity, let's bring joy, let's bring peace, let's bring love, the love of Jesus that's seen. Paul wants us to see, is that what we see in each other, in our leadership, in people? Because that's the expectation of God. In Matthew 5, it says the peacemakers will have a gentleman come to share about peacemaking, how to handle relationships, how to work and create and keep peace and unity by sharing. Well, in Matthew 5, it talks about the peacemaker is the child of God. And later on, the one who does not keep peace, the one who chooses not to do that, that one's not a child of the kingdom. Those are harsh words. Jesus gives those two words to His disciples in the very beginning of the ministry. Why? Because He wants them to know when the Holy Spirit comes and He is living in you, if you choose not to do this, you're choosing not to walk with Me. And if you choose not to walk with Me, you choose to walk in your own way. And I am not the Lord of your life. Therefore, you will not be with Me in eternity. We live in a culture that says, accept the grace of God and you're good to go. Live how you like and it's okay. God forgive you. He'll cover it and it's okay. But that's not what Jesus teaches. He says, if you follow Me, you want Me in your life. You're covered. You want Me in your life. You're covered. You will submit to, I'll teach you how to submit to Me. You're covered. Those who don't want Jesus in their life and submit to Him and to walk with Him, those are the ones, He says, don't want Me. You're not covered because you don't want to be covered, because you don't understand. My love is amazing, and I want to produce that in the lives of My children, those who want to be a part of My kingdom. It's a choice to follow the King. In Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. That whole verse is everything about what God is doing in the life of people. I don't create the good works. I don't make them. Can't do it. Can't be good enough. But God creates the good works in me. He transforms my heart to accept His way and not my way. His love to pour out, not mine. That's what God wants to do, and that's what we're to look at, the fruit of each other. Do we see that heart in each other? Because friends, if we see that heart in one another, if each of us decided, I will want to be an imitator of Christ, imitator of God, I want His love to be pouring out from me. Holy Spirit, please do that in my life. If we choose to do that, each one of us individually, this church is going to be on fire. It is going to be on fire. It's going to be on fire with unity. It's going to be on fire with love that is amazing. We have a bunch of different personalities in this room. Some personalities are going to mesh with mine awesome. And we're going to talk. Interests the same, things like that. It's like, it's going to be great. And some are just not. We just have different interests. We have different personalities. But it doesn't mean we don't like each other. We can still love one another and spend time with one another and even talk to one another and be okay with one another. And that's the goal of what Christ wants to do in our church. We are at a pivotal point in our church. I absolutely believe God is going to open up the doors of something great here. He's prepared us for 2 years for this. I'm encouraged. But I do know that this is foundational. The heart of love that is not mine and it's not yours, it's the love of Jesus living in us. I encourage you, spend time with Him. Let Him show you. Let Him draw you close to Him. Let Him teach you who He is. And surrender to Him and let Him live through you. This place will be full because people need to know the love of Jesus. It's unlike the world. Absolutely unlike the world. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You on how You are directing and moving in our lives, Lord. The message is short today, but Lord, it's powerful because You're powerful. You direct our eyes to You, that it's You who does the work in our lives. But we got to come to You. We got to let You do it. Lord, I pray each one of us will let You be the Lord, which will produce love, which will create unity, that not one of us is left behind. Lord, may we run together in a peace, in a harmony, in a unity that is only that You can create. We can't do it. The world has tried to move in a way in so many governments and countries and organizations trying to do the same thing, but it just disharmony comes in it because it ends up becoming selfish. But Lord, You produce a heart of love and servitude. You have a kingdom, and You're calling for kingdom-minded people. Lord, may we be that kingdom-minded people, and may we show the world, but it's You through us showing the world what Your kingdom looks like as a taste of what we're going to be and see when we're with You in heaven. We thank You. And all God's children said, amen, amen.